Writing and getting this stuff together in their time and putting forth all of the ribbon and poinsettias. We appreciate you guys doing that. Those of you who have read this evening with different things, the images that we see, thank you so much. It does my heart good to see these teenagers doing it for sure. So when we asked them and they said, yeah, that just did my heart good, seeing them being a part of what it's all about. As we look at the incarnation this morning and walking through with John chapter 1, many individuals, now that Thanksgiving is done, we are preparing for Christmas, moving in the new year. Some individuals wish that the Christmas season would just hurry up and go. Sometimes it's a very difficult time in which that maybe I think things in our life, things that we have faced, have given us that reason to walk through that time. In fact, I believe that those who are ready for this to be over, per se, our distress and discouragement, and sometimes even our depression, are generally indications that we are focusing on things during this Christmas season rather than focusing on the birth of our Savior. I can remember when people in my family have passed away, it was difficult, as can you, or maybe not being able to gather as you have in the past. That's been difficult during this time as well. But if you're one this evening, whether you're sitting here watching online, who frets and frowns and desires for this time to be over for whatever reason, I want to encourage you to spend time in God's Word, really looking at John chapter 1, that we see it's God's invitation to us to behold the glory of Jesus Christ and what we call the incarnation as the Holy Spirit leads. Look with me in John chapter 1. We're going to look at the first 14 verses, and if you'll follow along with me for a moment. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the light was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. There were from a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believeth on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and was beheld his glory, and the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Imagine with me this evening looking at John chapter 1, a time before creation when there was nothing but the Godhead. We call that the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, existing in a time when there was no time or place that we can even comprehend. They were just there. They have always been. I believe that God has always been, and God will always be. We know that Jesus himself was the Word of God. John chapter 1 makes that clear. It speaks the creation into existence when God desired to create it. He said, as you know, let there be light, and there was light. Then God the Father, the Godhead, I believe, divided the light and called the light day. And we know the opposite of that to be darkness, which we call night. In the 5 days after, during the creation period, he speaks the world, and this glorious place comes into existence. God just speaks simply, it speaks, and the words follow, and the earth is created with all the water in the land. And we see here in this particular passage of Scripture that John tells us that everything was made, and it was made by Christ, the Word who was and is God. It was fully the incarnate of who Jesus Christ is. Paul offers a word of encouragement to the church of Colossae in the book of Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, where it says, "For by him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him." Everything that we see, the trees, as you walk through this time in which we are participating of the hanging of the green service, the poinsettias, the wreaths, the evergreens, all the things that we see day in and day out points us to Jesus Christ, that it was created for him and by him. We know that Jesus was the true light, which lighteth every man that come into the world. He was in the world, even though those that were there desired not to know him. And the question may simply be, why? Why did God purpose himself to put on the cloak of flesh? Why did God the Father see that it was necessary to send God the Son in human form? Why did he take upon himself the limitations of humanity from the fleshly mindset? Why would he, Jesus, make himself so vulnerable walking through these difficult times? There's one point I want you to think about this evening as we walk through John chapter 1. I believe the incarnation of God and the answer to all those questions is simply to reveal men to God, to simply show men that mankind, human nature, that God is God, that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, and that God the Father desires to have a relationship with all man through the bloodshed of his Son named Jesus Christ. In the past, for instance, if you study the Old Testament, we know that God had revealed himself through his works. Some of the things that he did to show that he was there. He revealed himself through the world, as we looked at that a couple of weeks ago, looking at an atheist out of Romans chapter 1, that I believe God gives individuals enough to know that there is a supreme being, and that individual can call out to God, and God will take care of them. But not only that, not only do we see it through his works in the world, but we see God through the Word of God. We see the God through his scripture, through his inspired Word of God. The incarnation was God. It was revealed in a person named Jesus Christ, and Hebrews 1 discusses that beginning in verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, who he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had made by himself purged our sins, and sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. Jesus said in John chapter 14, we're going to look in a moment, that anyone who had seen him, who had physically seen him, had also seen the Father. And that is why John in John 14 verse 9 could say with all of authority that the Word was with God and the Word was God. As you look at this idea and seeing what's taking place, I want to bring to your attention, I know that this is not in my notes, Matt, if you'll pull up verse 9 and 10 of John chapter 1. Verse 9 and 10, we read it a moment ago. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. I believe that God is the ultimate light through his Son Jesus Christ, and God allows you to see light, to rid yourself of darkness, and see that the light always overtakes the darkness. But before God had revealed his standard of righteousness in precept and in principle, now we see it as Christ that the standard is revealed in person. Not only is it in precept, not only is it in the principle, but the incarnation, we see it in a human flesh by the man named Jesus Christ. Jesus did not teach us about the glory of God. He does not just talk about the glory of God or even just demonstrate it. Something very important. Jesus is the glory of God, and he came to reveal God and his glory to all of humanity. The entire reasoning or point behind what we are celebrating today, preparing for the Advent season and the Christmas season, is those that we can see God's glory full in completeness in Jesus Christ, and he revealed that glory for all men to be able to see. Why? Why would God do this, or why did God do this? It's quite simple, to restore paradise and to redeem a lost world. So everything that we see here during the Christmas season or during looking at the incarnation or whatever it may be, looking at John 1:1 through 14, why did God send his Son who was the Word and the Word was made flesh? And it's simply to reveal God to mankind, to restore the broken paradise and to allow us as sinners to be saved by the bloodshed of Jesus Christ. When we consider the glories of heaven, the dwelling places of God, and we are filled with hope, and we see scripture all throughout as you read it that talks about heaven, that talks about that day when we cross that threshold and they're in presence of the Lord. Paul in the book of Corinthians, talking to the church of Corinth in 2 Corinthians 12:4, said it like this, was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words that are not lawful to speak or lawful to utter. When you think about that idea, there's going to come a time, church, that you're going to meet him face to face. And I preach it to you many times that I believe in the rapture. I believe that can take place. I believe God can call me home by other ways. But there will come a time when we'll stand before God. And if we have believed in the incarnation of Jesus, that he was fully God and fully man, and that he was born and that he was killed and rose again, then when that time comes, we will be able to see this place called heaven. But in reality, we cannot fathom it now. You try to wrap your mind around heaven. I know the Bible talks about it, but if you're anything like me, you can't grasp how great and awesome heaven is going to be. But what did Jesus do? Jesus left it all so that we may have a way. Jesus could have stayed where he was at. He could have said, you know what, I'm fully God and I don't want to be a part of that. But he knew God's plan for his life. He knew that he had to go. The scripture tells us that he emptied himself. He made himself nothing, and he took upon himself the form of a common slave and was made in the likeness of men so that we can know that Jesus Christ is fully part of the Godhead. The Word was made flesh. That is the incarnation. If you don't know what the incarnation it is, it's very simple. It's the Godhead, the Trinity, looking at the Word being made flesh. So we're looking at Jesus Christ. And as you think about this, do you see his glory? Is there any greater love than what Jesus Christ did, or what God the Father knew that he had to do with one of the parts of the Trinity that was able to come? What kind of love did God have to possess to say, hey, I'm going to send my son? What kind of love did God have to possess to say he's going to live a life where people rejected him, where people mocked him, where people spit on him and ultimately crucified him? What kind of love would it cause the great shepherd to be born in a manger, announced by shepherds, just to save one lost sheep? That type of love, it is the kind of love that only God of heaven could have. The type of love that we're talking about there is the only type of love that God himself could possess, that it was worth sending his son for that one sheep. I preached to you before on the 99 sheep and the one, and you don't think about the 99 sheep or the 100 sheep until you're that one, right? That's wandering the wrong direction. And at that point, you're thankful that God is saving you. You're thankful that that type of love that stepped out of glory, that took on a manger, that took on a beating of a cross and a tomb, and 3 days later rose again, so that we may be able to understand that Jesus did not talk about the love only. He didn't just strictly demonstrate the love, but he desired to reveal that love to mankind. That's you and me, so that we can have everlasting life. There's three questions I want you to think about this evening as we look at God doing this, sending his son to reveal God to men, to reveal who Jesus Christ is. The first question is quite simple. Have you received him? Have you asked Jesus Christ to save you? Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? If anything is evident in the incarnation, it is the infinite love of God and his desire to save you from your sins in a place called hell. If you don't understand anything else when you try to study this or wrap your mind around it, I want you to know simply that it is infinite love, that he loved you so much that you can be a part of that. Now, when you think about that idea, normally our attention goes to the cross. We think, had it been no cross, there would be no salvation. Had it been no bloodshed, there would be no remission of sin. But you had to start somewhere, right? And it started in the manger. And normally we look at the cross and we consider the cross to be the display of our love. But I want you to recognize something very important. The wood of the cradle and the wood of the cross are the same. The wood of the cradle and the wood of the cross are the same. Now, am I saying both of them are made out of pine? No, that's not what I'm saying. But what I am trying to get you to understand is the wood that made the cradle and the wood that made the cross, imagery speaking there, if you study this, is all part of God's divine plan. Now, if you study the birth of Jesus, some believe he was born more and maybe of a concrete type box. Some believe it to be like a feeding trough. Some believe it to be like a manger that we see. Regardless of whatever you may think it is at that point, all I want you to know is the same God that instilled the providence of the wood of the cross is the same God that knew the God himself would be born in a manger. That is the infinite love that we see as we study the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Why? The cradle was but the first step of the cross. It had to start somewhere. It was the first step of where it all began. And it is by the cradle that we should seek to consider the willingness and the ability of God to save men from their sins. Why is that? Because the Bible is clear that Jesus came as a light into the world of darkness so that he could expose the darkness with his light. And we only understand this if you have never trusted Jesus Christ, that you're living a lifestyle of sin or living in sin. John 3:16 and following, a passage of scripture that's very familiar with you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We normally stop right there when we think about John chapter 3, but continue to read in verse 17. For God sent not his Son in the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than light, because of their evil deeds. The evil deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth the truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. When you look at John 3, as I said, we often think about verse 16. But as you look at verse 17, we see the incarnation of Jesus Christ, plain and simple. That he did not come to condemn the world, but he came to save the world. That he came to make a way so that we may have everlasting life with Jesus Christ. As you look at those verses of Scripture, I personally cannot stated any plainer or clearer for you to understand. The question is, have you received him? I want you to know that if you have never trusted him as your Savior, I, as your pastor, or whatever you may want to call me there, I plead with you to repent of your sins, ask God to save you so that you can really understand the incarnation of Jesus Christ during the Christmas season. One other thing I want you to look at before I ask you the second question, what did John say in John 1:12? What did he say in verse 12 of chapter 1? But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The power. Once you know Jesus Christ, I believe you possess a power that the world cannot take away from you. And that power is greater than any other power you could ever have, ever possess. And that power is found in and through what Jesus Christ in the incarnation of the fully being God and man that we celebrate during this time. Second question I want you to think about this evening. Are you looking for a second coming? Are you looking for a second coming? Are you ready for the rapture? Are you ready for the trumpet to blow? Are you ready to meet him face to face? Titus chapter 2, verse 13 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I mentioned to you this morning that there are individuals who missed the first coming of Jesus because they wasn't paying attention. They had read what the prophet said. He came and he was promised and he showed up in the incarnation and Jesus broke forth in what we consider an unprepared world, a world that was not waiting nor was watching. There were a few who were. The Magi, we're going to look at them next Sunday, looking at the wisdom of Christmas. But as you think about this idea, he had told him he was coming. He had promised he was coming. I believe that Jesus Christ coming in the incarnation as fully God and fully man was planned when Adam and Eve was here and even before the creation of Adam and Eve. Because our God knew that it was going to take place. That our God knew that it was going to happen. Jesus himself told his disciples and those that he preached to that you need to watch and pray, that you need to be ready, that you need to be looking for this date. And church, this evening, we need to be looking for that. We need to be prepared for the second coming, that we see the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior when that time comes. But something very important, this excites me. When Jesus comes back, he will not be a babe in a manger. I mentioned this morning, he will not be showing up on a humble donkey looking as a meek or a lowly lamb. He'll be riding in as a lion of the tribe of Judah, ready for battle, and that's the God that we say we believe in. He came to fulfill his first time to be the incarnate of Jesus or incarnate of God so that we can know the salvation is there. But the second time he's coming ready for battle. He's coming in as a mighty warrior. He is coming with all the fanfare due as a king, riding in the clouds, leading thousands of the saints, and he'll be riding in understanding and ruling with a rod of iron and righteousness and truth. Are you prepared for his second coming? Are you looking for his second coming? Are you ready for when that time comes? In closing, the last question I want you to think about. I'd venture to say that most of you this morning, or this evening, would say yes to question one and two, that you've given your life to Jesus and that you are looking for his second coming. The third question may be up for debate for many of us, as it has been for me. Are you surrendered to the will of God for your life? Being a Christian is one step. Submitting your life to Jesus for the rest of the remainder of your life is something I believe is totally different. Now, I'm not saying that I believe you can lose your salvation or anything like that, but I believe that when God radically saves you, that you have to understand that you're in need of allowing God to sit on the throne of your heart. So the question as we see here is, are you surrender the will of God for your life? Is have you done that? Are you ready to do whatever it takes? Are you ready to go wherever it may be? Very important as you look at the incarnation of a God, that Jesus knew the outcome would be the cross. He knew the outcome would be being spit upon and mocked, but he surrendered to the will of God anyway. He knew what was going to happen, and he still said, yes, Lord, yes. And here we are as Christians today, oftentimes forgetting that we are to say, yes, Lord, yes, and things that were God is calling us to do. He was absolutely 100% surrendered to the will of God. And the question this evening is, are you? We must realize that we must sing the praises to his name, that we give him the glory and adoration that he deserves. Why? Because all honor and glory belongs to God. And today it specifically belongs to God for the wonder of his incarnation. How was it even possible but God? How did it even take place with a virgin named Mary but God? Why did God use Mary and Joseph? Good question, good answer. Really, is simply God knew what they could do in their life. Why did God use you? Why did God use me? It's simple, a but God moment in your life, that you realize that God can use me, that I am to surrender myself to Jesus Christ. I have a very simple desire for you today. It's quite simple for you to know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. For you have put your faith and trust in him. For you to rejoice in what Jesus Christ has done for you, and not what you've done for Jesus Christ. That you rejoice that a victory is found in him, in him alone. And for you to share the common concern or the common mindset that our lives are daily offerings surrendered to the will of God so that God may be high and lifted up. We read the scripture a moment ago. Jesus came unto his own, but they would not receive him. And the question that wraps up this evening's message is simply, will you? Will you put your faith and trust in God? Will you surrender to the will that God has for your life so that you can reveal God to those around you by the transformation that has taken place in your life? God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your scripture. God, we thank you for the incarnation of Jesus Christ. God, we thank you for who you are. God, we pray during this time that we will remember, as we say, it becomes cliche at times, the reason for the season. But God, may we not forget it. May we not water it down. God, may we stand firm that it all began back in eternity past per se, but it began at a cradle, but it did not end at a cross. God, it ended at a tomb opening up and you ascending and you're coming back to get your children. God, may each person who's here this evening or watching online or whatever it may be, God, may they know that they know you as their personal Lord and Savior. May they know that they're living a life that brings honor and glory to you. And God, may they know they're surrendering to the will of your life for them, that you receive all honor and glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.